Alright guys, welcome back to episode 19 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. As always guys, just to start this one off, I want to say a big thank you for all the love and support that you guys are continuously showing me throughout the progression of this podcast series and with the Primal Alchemy brand as a whole. Your opinions really do mean the world to me, so please leave me a review on iTunes. Again, if you need to, you can do it on YouTube, on Instagram, you can DM me personally, but iTunes really is the one for me. And as a massive thank you for that, if you copy or you screenshot your review on iTunes and send it over to me, either by email or through DMing me on Instagram, I'll give you an exclusive 15% discount code for primalalchemy.co.uk. But as per usual, guys, I'm in the giving away business here. So if that's a little bit too much for you, just for the fact that you're giving me some of your time, then hey, you get an exclusive 10% discount code. That's Red Pill. That's the code Red Pill that when applied to the discount section at checkout, you'll get 10% off anything within your shopping basket. So that's it, guys. Use that code wisely. Use it to your advantage. And you've got quite a broad spectrum of products available now at primalalchemy.co.uk. You've got the Food of the Gods collection, where you've obviously got our flagship product, Vitruvian Protein, organic whey protein superfood blend filled with adaptogens, nootropics, prebiotics, flavored with high vibrational superfoods like raw cacao and yacon powder. Or if you're looking to get yourself into shape, get your nutrition game on point, or maybe just looking to get into the world of biohacking, you've got our Ancestral Potential coaching programs now available. So you've got the Demigod Fitness, you've got the Quantum Fuel Nutrition, and of course you've got the Enlightened Biohacking one-to-one tutoring with myself. Check it out, guys. Really worth looking into. So yeah, moving on to today's episode. It's a bit of a special one, guys. Primal Alchemy Red Pill Initiation Hour is starting to create some waves. We've got our first doctor on the episode, which is a first. So yeah, I was really looking forward to this one. The guest is someone whose work I have studied for a few years now, and she comes at the game from a different perspective than most. And when I got this podcast series up and running, I was always wondering if I'd be able to get her on. So as you do, I just kind of reached out to her, and yeah, it turns out it's a lot easier than I was kind of expecting it to be. And yeah, she agreed to come on, and I really did enjoy this chat. So today's guest is Dr. Deanna Minnick. She is a qualified doctor out stateside, and she is the author of, well, a few books really, but the one that really turned me onto her work was Quantum Supplements. And her new book is The Rainbow Diet. And what I really like about this work is that it's not just looking at nutrition from a very material, biochemical perspective. Diana really creates a good connection between the subtle energetic effects of our diet. She looks at the chakra system and how certain foods optimize certain chakras within the body, which then she correlates to the colors of the foods. So for example, red foods would be really good for the root chakra. Obviously the root chakra is symbolized is red. Green foods for the heart chakra. You know, you get the idea now. So it's a really good episode, guys. Something to really open your mind to a different perspective of health and nutrition. And I hope you really like this one. Again, please give me some feedback as soon as you finish listening. Just take a few minutes. That's all. Just a few minutes. Just drop me a review on iTunes. Whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on, just a few minutes. Just leave me some feedback so I know what I can do to improve, make it better for you. And yeah, get this message out there to a bigger audience to help them help themselves. Save yourself. Save the world. All right, guys, episode 19, let's kick this shit off.
You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below. What lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey. But we up to empower with this Red Pill Initiation Hour. With this Red Pill Initiation Hour, brought to you by Primal Alchemy.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
All right, and we're live. All right, guys, welcome back to episode 19 of Primal Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. So this is the one, guys. We've finally made it big. We've finally got a individual on with a doctorate. We've got an official doctor on the show. So it's a big milestone for the Red Pill Initiation Hour. And today's guest is someone that I've been following her work for a while, and I truly do admire the work that she's put out. And she truly is one of the craft, a fellow craft of. Really pursuing not just health, but really finding a way to link it with the physical, mental, and spiritual. And yeah, I really got on to today's guest's work, doing my own research into developing the products here at Primal Alchemy. Let's just jump straight in. So today's guest is Dr. Deanna Minnick. So Deanna, thank you so much for coming on. And it really does mean the world for me. For you to have the chance to be able to talk to you.
Well, it's great to be here, Chris. Thanks for the invite.
You're welcome. So, Deanna, for people that are not too aware of your work, I stumbled across you when I was doing my initial research for product development across your book, The Quantum Supplements Total Health and Wellness Makeover with the Vitamins, Minerals, Herbs. And I know now that you've sort of progressed into your latest release, which is the Rainbow Diet. So before we kind of jump into that and what those books are made of, could you just give us a little bit of a rundown of your sort of background and how you become the sort of famed, widely recognized author that you are today?
Thank you. Wow, that's a big open-ended question. I'll do my best to shortcut the process here. So I'm a scientist by training. So I have a master's and a PhD, both in health-related topics, whether it's human nutrition and or biochemistry, medical science. And, you know, I think part of my journey of being in science is very much connected to understanding what is true. And what is true is sometimes not within the bounds of science. And so we have to look in other places too for things that have withstood the test of time and contain inherent truths. And so as a scientist looking for truth, that has led me into looking at ancient traditions, spiritual practices, looking into other medical systems like Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, and really forming an appreciation for these different medical and healing tradition and wanting to do more to bring those together with modern science. So what I have done is when I was 19, so I'm 48 now, but when I was 19, I took my first yoga class and I was turned on to the chakra system. And the chakra system in yoga is recognized as basically seven energy centers in the body that have certain colors and certain organs associated with them. And then as I went down my discovery path of looking at these chakras, I did some reading from Carolyn Mace. Carolyn Mace has written a number of books, one of which has really impacted me. It's called Anatomy of the Spirit. And then she's written other books. And so she got me thinking about a wider expanse of what these chakras really mean And maybe they're not just energy centers that we talk about within yoga, but they're active psychoneuroendocrine immune centers that have connections to our physiology and our psychology. So since that time of getting to know the chakras and exploring them, I have taken the chakra system as an operating system and woven it into nutrition and lifestyle. Because I really wasn't seeing that done. You know, you would find chakras discussed in esoteric literature and more spiritual and new age type of books and even self-help books. But I wasn't really seeing them in medical-oriented books. And so I began writing about what I was perceiving and observing in people and even through my own life with nutrition and lifestyle based on the chakras. And I came out with my first book in 2009, which I can't believe it's like 10 years ago now. yeah, you do the math and it's like, wow, I can't, that's a decade ago. I feel like I was just writing that book. So Chakra Foods came out in 2009. I then went on to write Quantum Supplements, which is the book that you referred to, because it's not just nutrition, but then it's the energetics of nutrients. And then I continued on. I wrote another book called The Complete Handbook of Quantum Healing, which was, a lot of people like this book because it's like a reference book. I like to write things that are really practical. You can go back to them. I'm not a person that is all about reading books cover to cover. I think that you should have a relationship with a book. So in the Quantum Healing book, it's a relationship book. It's kind of like, you know, you go to it when you need it and it gives things to you. It's written out like as a reference guide for health based on the elements in the chakra system. And then, you know, I went further into my whole detox book. I just came out with the Rainbow Diet last year. So, you know, it's been a progression of trying to figure out how to actually communicate concepts that are not widely held. So like I'm trying to create a nexus, an interface whereby the East and West can come together, where psychology and physiology come together, where nutrition and mind-body come together. And so it's continually putting together these seemingly disparate interfaces, which are actually very much aligned and congruent if we can look at them in that perspective.
Yeah, I love it. I couldn't have really said it better myself. It's something very similar to what I'm trying to do here, Deanna, with the Primal Alchemy brand. It's that unification of the ancient ancestral wisdom with today's sort of real leading cutting edge health sciences, be that nutritional or be that maybe more sort of exercise physiology based. Same sort of thing, though. It's finding that golden balance between the two and then delivering it in a modern day package where people can understand it and appreciate the knowledge that our ancient ancestors had, but being able to talk about it and describe it in a scientific manner in which it's going to gain the attention of the way that we kind of sift through health sciences nowadays. So it's great that you're putting in the work. And yeah, I thought that maybe we could just touch base on going over what you've really laid out in the Rainbow Diet and just look into the sort of optimal foods that we should be taking, be that whole foods, phytonutrients, and sort of go deep down the rabbit hole of that for our chakra system and how that's going to benefit us from both a physical, mental, and spiritual perspective, if you're down for that.
You bet. Let's go through the colors.
Cool. So obviously we're going to start off at the root. So it's going to be red. So where do we start from here? What sort of, actually, if you could give like a, if you're comfortable with it, Deanna, if you could give like a little bit of a description on like the root chakra and from a Eastern perspective, and then maybe more of a Westernized up-to-date perspective, and then we can sort of tie it in with the foods as we go along.
Yeah, you bet. So the root chakra, I actually call this the root system of health. In the chakra system, as I see it, it's about the body. It's about the physical body. It's about safety, survival. It's about our tribe. It's about our DNA. It's about the physical structures of the body that give us an actual template. So whether it's genetics or it could be our skin, it's things that you can see, our skin, our joints, things that move around, like our skeleton. The protein-based structures is how I see it. And so again, there's the physiology and then there's the psychology of feeling safe, feeling good in one's skin, feeling secure, feeling grounded. And many people are very dissociated, fragmented, not very present. In the Western system, I see this as our connection into stress. It is the fight or flight response. So when we think of survival and being in the physical body, it means that we have to survive in the physical world. And often we're doing that through our adrenal glands. We're doing that through cortisol. We are priming our hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. And so I see the adrenals strongly connected in. And the adrenals are these reddish organs that sit on top of the kidneys that help us with this whole signal of fight or flight. So, if you look at the pathology, what would we see as issues? So if somebody was doing, if you go to my Rainbow Diet book and you were doing the questionnaire and you wanted to figure out, do I have an imbalance in my root system? Things that would come out would be inflammation, things that are red and abnormal. So inflammation, part of inflammation involves the redness, the pain, the swelling that can happen. It might also involve issues with the skin, inflammatory type of conditions like dermatitis, any itis, whether osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis, denoting again, inflammation would be an imbalance. And then also just one's relationship with their bodies. You know, for many people, I think what's coming out more and more is the sense of trauma, the sense of how trauma can carry through generations. This is all a very root chakra message. So when we experience something, in our maternal or paternal line, maybe it was famine or war, how does that translate into the epigenetics that are currently held within our genetic structure today, like different tags on our genome because of that? Because we are seeing science, which alludes to the effect of these traumatic experiences having transference into offspring. You know, we see that with some of the studies on Holocaust survivors. So yeah, the root is all about surviving. It's being in your body. It's honoring the body. It is having a sense of community. It's really how you relate to the external environment too, which brings in the immune system.
Yeah, it's a lot. That was like a real good breakdown of it. And it's something that I've been kind of dealing with in my own sort of personal life, is really sort of trying to secure a good anchor, a good grounding before I start to really grow my business, my brand, and grow into the sort of, grow into my destiny. And I love how you broke that down then, Deanna. With the when it comes to the root chakra, then what sort of foods, what sort of nutrients should we be looking at in order to nourish these this sort of energy within our body?
Well, I always think of protein. Because protein is our structure. We look at our skin, our hair, our nails, you know, the things that are on the outside. We look at the immune system, which is composed of different proteins. So protein, first and foremost, I associate each of the chakras with a macronutrient or some type of phytonutrient, vitamin or mineral. And so first and foremost, I think of protein just because it's a predominant part of our daily diets. So feeling grounded and stabilized through protein. You know, a lot of people eat a lot of sugar, but if they were to bring protein into that meal with high sugar, they would actually offset some of the glycemic impact and feel a bit more stabilized, which is what your root chakra wants. It wants to be stable, grounded, safe, and secure. And when we eat a lot of sugar, it tosses us off and it puts us on a roller coaster. So there's protein. And then also in the Rainbow Diet book, I talk about minerals of various types. Minerals comprise our structure, like our skeleton, You know, we think of calcium, magnesium, zinc, which is important to the immune system. We think of iron, which is the building block of our red blood cells. Keyword, you know, red blood cells. That holds oxygen for us. It gives us life force. So, you know, the biggest things I would say here would be red colored foods because of the different pigments that help to support reducing inflammation and helping the immune system, as well as protein and minerals.
So just as a rule of thumb, then, are you suggesting that red colored foods are going to be some of the better foods to go for to reduce inflammation? And if so, what's your opinion on astaxanthin? Because obviously that's the one of the main sort of anti-inflammatory, like real powerful antioxidants that you find within,
there are so many different, sea life. If you look at the literature, yes, there is a correlation between having these red food based phytonutrients. So I think of lycopene from tomato products and different other fruits like pink grapefruit or guava, watermelon, these types of foods. I think of anthocyanins, which can be found in red raspberries or sweet cherries, strawberries, cranberries, beets, you know, a whole host of different. The beautiful part of nature is that nature isn't confined to just one food. Oftentimes we see phytonutrients scattered throughout the plant kingdom. But I do think that there's an intelligence and a color code to a lot of the activity of these different phytonutrients. So astaxanthin is not really part of the plant kingdom. I do see that as part of the seafood kingdom, as you mentioned, although you can find astaxanthin in various algaes. And then when the fish eat those algaes, the fish or shrimp, if we think of crayfish or crustaceans of various types, krill, they tend to take on that pinkish color. Astaxanthin is a potent antioxidant. It has some protective effects for the stomach. It helps with the immune system. It's seen as something helpful to help prevent things like cancer and other inflammatory states. So yeah, you know, I know that in the Rainbow Diet, I segment a lot of these nutrients out, and I do talk about astaxanthin and anthocyanins and a lot of these phytonutrients. But really and truly, I do think that food is about a complex matrix. It's about all the things that you're getting within a food and how they all work together. So I definitely want to stress that to your listeners that I do think that we can get the most benefit when we are leveraging whole foods. I always think of whole foods first. And then if we need targeted action, maybe we can't get enough of a certain nutrient, then we can bring in dietary supplements to help fortify that.
Yeah, I guess it kind of goes back to the whole foods being the much more holistic route, and dietary supplements is almost, from one perspective, a pharmacological approach where you're taking an isolated compound for its given effect on the body. Whereas if you go for the whole food, you get everything in the perfect ratio as nature intended. So that's interesting. So after the root chakra, we then rise up to the sacral chakra, which is going to be orange.
Yeah, so I call that the flow system of health. And the flow is all about the water element, whereas the root is about the earth and physical part of us. The sacral chakra, or what I call the flow, is about the watery parts of us, the parts that flow. We're actually primarily water. You know, our bodies and their balanced state are 60 to 80% water. And so if we look at the ancient meaning of the sacral chakra, it's about creativity. It's about emotions. It's about partnerships. So one-on-one intimate relationships. Oftentimes we think of sensuality, sexuality. When I think in terms of the Western framework, I think of the reproductive tract. I also think of the relationship between cells and how cells grow and reproduce. And so here's where we enter into looking at things like fats and oils. If you look at the structure of a cell and the ability of a cell to grow, reproduce, exchange materials with other cells, much of it is dependent upon that bilipid membrane that surrounds a cell. So fat is definitely something that we need in the diet. We need good quality fat to help fortify our structure, to keep us moving and flowing. You know, if we have too many saturated fats, what can happen is we get a bit stiff and stuck and stagnant. And in some cases, atherogenic buildup, right? We get this stasis that happens. But with some of the fluid flowing fats, like you would find in seafood or plant foods, these are more fluid and flowing in their chemical structure. And they also have those properties within the cell membrane too, which is why we're seeing some benefits with omega-3s from fish and helping many different body systems, whether it's creating better neuronal plasticity, so better flow in the brain, better incorporation into the heart membranes, and so better heart rate variability, and even skin. You know, the skin is, the hydration of the skin is so much determined by these lipid membranes. And so when I think of the flow, I think of, well, yes, orange colored foods, because I'm thinking of carotenoids. Carotenoids are the plant pigments that we find throughout the plant kingdom. There are hundreds of these different plant compounds, and some of them are orange and some are other colors too. But usually the one that I think of when it comes to reproductive health is beta carotene. Beta carotene is what makes carrots orange. So if you were to ask me, well, Deanna, how can you summarize what do we need to keep us fluid and flowing? I would say a good, healthy proportion of dietary fats and oils. So that might mean the incorporation of nuts and seeds. It may mean looking at more water in the diet or more water-containing food. Also looking at different animals that we would be accessing that would give us that water element, like fish and seafood. And orange-colored foods in general.
Just to sort of rewind a little bit into the fats, I'm intrigued.
You know, I'm a big believer in personalization of eating. I don't just toss out, to be consistent with the flow here, I don't, as we would say in the States, toss the baby out with the bathwater. I do think that there can be healing elements of a ketogenic diet, depending on who that person is and how they're doing it and what their physiology, their genes, their symptoms. You know, we've got to look at the whole picture. So just to say, you know, what do you think of the ketogenic diet? That's a big open-ended question. I would say it's good for some and maybe not so good for others. And, you know, we have to evaluate that depending on what we need specifically. You know, I have seen some people not do well on a ketogenic diet. For some people, their lipids go up and their cardiovascular disease risk can change and can increase depending on how they do it. But I think that for many people, you know, sometimes we take an extreme approach to food. And so when people do a ketogenic diet, they may forget the healing elements of food to bring along with all that fat, like bringing in more of the plants. And one of the other aspects that I wrote about in my whole detox book was how fat, dietary fat, is essentially a depot for toxins. You know, if we look at toxins in the environment, they love fat. They tend to be lipophilic. And so if we're having a ketogenic diet and having lots of fat, and we are not aware of quality sources, we're just doing fat, 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 and we're not balancing that with plants and with other nutrients so that we don't get deficiencies or increased toxic burden, then I think it can be an issue.
And you briefly stated on it then about not having too much saturated fat. What would be your sort of perfect ratio between saturated monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, what would you tell people to really sort of zone in on that's going to be like the focus? Would it be your omega-3s? Would it be your DHA, your docosahexaenoic acid? What sort of things would you
It's a good question, because when I'm sort of focusing on making this information real and practical for people, we have to realize that people don't eat fatty acids. They eat foods, and foods contain complex mixtures of fatty acids. I mean, even coconut oil is not 100% saturated fat. It has some amount of unsaturated fat, not a lot, but it's a complex mixture of fatty acids. And so I usually refrain from making any kind of set amount on ratios or grams, just because everybody is so different. And I want to move people away from the analysis of eating and into the art of eating, because I think that we've had way too much analysis. And that's one of the issues with nutrition, is that it's been maligned and highly criticized in various circles, saying like, oh, you know, one day butter is good, the next day butter is bad. But I think it's because we become all or nothing, and we have made nutrition an absolute when it's not an absolute. It's a relationship with food. So I, quite honestly, to answer your question outright, I wouldn't advocate per se a set ratio of omega-6, omega-3, omega-9, omega-7 fatty acids, because I don't think that people would adhere to it anyway. I think that, that's near impossible to be tracking every, even the most diligent of people that I've worked with. You know, they'll do that for a couple of days. Maybe they'll do it via an app, and then they kind of fall away, because it's just, it's not consistent with the rhythm of life to be constantly analyzing. And I think it changes our relationship with food and our bodies when we're always metricizing. So that's just, I feel very strongly about, because, you know, I come from disordered eating myself. When I was growing up, I was more about, you know, not how many grams of things do you have, but it was the things that you couldn't have. And I had a lot of restriction, a lot of rules around my eating. And that just led to me binging. It led to me overeating, emotionally eating. It was like I had to get away from all of the restriction and rules and create a sense of freedom and fun. And that took decades, quite honestly. And so that's really what I try to do with people, is if we can focus on color and some general principles about food, and then look at it, how we are in tune with certain foods with our bodies, then I think everything kind of takes care of itself in the way of percentages, ratios, and amounts.
I like that. I like that approach. It's the complete opposite to me, which is why I like it. Because I'm very balls deep into looking at ratios, making sure I've got each amount of I've got the correct amount of saturated, monounsaturated, polyunsaturated, going through the omega 3s, 6s, 7s, 9s. I'm very tedious like that. But when you break it down like that, I mean, yeah, it's true. In nature, you're not gonna. Back in ancient times, they wouldn't have had a calculator to be able to work that out. It would have been
done eating in sync with nature, like in seasons and location where you're at.
I appreciate that.
Now, that said, that doesn't mean that I don't think labs are important, because when somebody has pathology, symptoms, and clinical conditions, you know, then I do think that we need to start looking at fatty acid profiles, looking at omega-3 indices. I think that can help guide somebody's clinical profile. But that, again, I do on more of a personalized basis, rather than just say, okay, you need a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio for all of these different fats, and then expect somebody to go along with that, because, you know, you're very rooty. And so you like that structure of adhering to that, and that keeps you in line. And for some people who are very root chakra based, they like that. And that works for them. And I acknowledge that for sure. I think for the other people that I've worked with, it just encumbers them, and they'll do it for a little while and then they fall off, you know? And so I try to different approaches for for that.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah, I mean, not many people are as extreme as I am. I'm pretty anal with this, so not everyone's going to be on that sort of level, which kind of, I want to cover a point that you literally just made then about eating seasonal. So to avoid a circadian mismatch in the food that we're eating and the signals that's given us and our sort of internal clock of where we are at seasonally, can we eat this rainbow diet throughout the whole year? Or is there some colors that are best suited to certain seasons and you work your way through the year through the whole rainbow? Or is that something, can you just get it like from scratch to do? Because again, everything is seasonally and there will be surely some colors that you're not going to be able to get into your diet.
You can have a preponderance of colorful foods in the summertime, right? Because those pigments that are found in plant foods are protective. You know, during the summertime when we have more sun, we need more protection, especially in our skin. And a lot of these carotenoids and other pigments do embed into the epidermis. And so it absolutely makes sense that we would have more exposure to these colorful compounds when the sun is out, because the the plants are, you know, it's all connected, right? Photosynthesis and leveraging the sun in order to create more pigments and more energy. So that said, I do think you can still get the rainbow throughout the year. You know, let me just take an example. Like this morning, I'm thinking about my breakfast and what I had. So seasonally, I live in the Pacific Northwest, which is pretty similar to the UK at this time of year. So we're talking winter. We're at about a very similar latitude. And so, I focus on root vegetables. Root vegetables just in and of themselves come in all different colors. If we think of beets, red, sweet potato, orange, you can get yellow Yukon gold potatoes. You can even get blue purple potatoes. So even if I just look into that little microcosm of the vegetable kingdom, I could say, well, you know, we can get the rainbow just even within looking at some root vegetables. But then also you look at cabbage, which is also in season, red, purple cabbage. I just had some white green cabbage this morning that was fermented. And so, you know, then there's green, and where I live in our garden, even now we have kale, we have broccoli. So a lot of greens. And so I do think you can get the rainbow from a plant food perspective, no matter what time of year. It's just that accessibility and ease of getting those foods, maybe, and actually the variety of what's available will be different throughout the seasons, depending on where you live. And, you know, I do a lot of travel too. So I want to speak to that for your listeners, because when I talk about eating local, I would say no matter where you are locally. So even though I live in the northwestern corner of the United States, when I travel to the UK, I love making sure that I'm eating a lot of UK-based seasonal foods, whatever those are, because I am of the philosophy that wherever we are, that the foods that are grown in that area would help us to best survive the stress in that area, right? So this is the whole concept of nutritional xenohormesis. So when in Rome, eat as the Romans, right? Or when in Greece, eat as the Greeks. And so I try to adhere to that. I do bring certain foods for travel that are just kind of staples for me. But, you know, otherwise, I think it's really important to shift your eating wherever you're at. Xenohormesis. So,
what was that word you just used? Nutritional xenohormesis. Is that right?
So xeno is X-E-N-O. So that refers to something foreign. Hormesis is some degree of stress response. And so, you know, this is the whole hot concept now of resilience, right? So Wim Hof and other people talk about this, like whether it's exposure to cold, exposure to certain nutrients. You know, we've created a very comfortable environment for ourselves, but if we were living in nature in our true state, we would have these little stresses. And so some of those nutritional aspects like resveratrol, which is found in purple grapes and in red wine, and even in peanuts, is correlated with this concept of hormesis, right? Creating a little bit of mitochondrial positive stress for metabolism.
Okay, I'm gonna look into that a little bit more. I like that word, and it sounds intriguing. Cool. So, all right. So we've covered the sacral, and now we're gonna move up to the solar plexus, which is gonna take us on to yellow foods, right?
Yellow foods, yeah. And you know, in the interest of time, I'm thinking that, you know, the red, orange, and yellow are really essential. These colors and these systems. The other ones that we may or may not get through, the green through green, aqua, blue, and purple, white, you know, those are important as well. They have different areas of focus, but the red, orange, and yellow systems always seem in some way to be imbalanced in people. So I think it's really important that we are covering these in depth. The yellow system is in the Vedic or the chakra tradition. It's called the solar plexus chakra. I call it the fire system of health. It's the fire element. It's the seat of digestion in which we have acid and enzymes and all things rotting and ripening. Things are burning up and being transformed into our being. And so if we think about this from more of an esoteric or lifestyle point of view, we would say, well, this is about our energy. It's about what we're putting out, what we're taking in, and that energy currency. And so are we burning out or are we burning bright? And for most of us, we're actually burning out. We have a lot of stress coming from the root. We have job stress. You know, this area I connect to our thoughts. So even in traditional Chinese medicine, there is the idea of thinking or rumination that connects into this part of us, right? And so that's why it's so good not to be thinking and doing other things when you're trying to digest food. When you're eating, be there eating rather than be on your phone or watch television or read a book even. So I think it's really important to look at, you know, what's coming in and what's going out. And so three words for this site would be balance, energy, and power. And when we look at that seat of digestion and transformation and acid and basically converting nutrients into our bodies, most people are looking for energy, right? You know, I think of the mitochondria. I think of the actual burn and the heat that we get from food, ATP, the energy currency. So when I think of nutritionally, how can we support this system? This, just like we talked about, the root is connected to protein. The flow is connected to fats. The fire is connected to carbohydrate. And this is the one that people have a lot of issue with. They're either doing too much carbohydrate, especially simple sugars, because they don't have energy. They constantly need to move forward and get things done. You know, this is the doing chakra. This is outward. It's performance driven. It's, you know, we see it ramped up in athletes, in entrepreneurs, CEOs, people that are always doing and putting themselves out into the world in certain ways. It embodies work-life balance. And many of us don't carry that balance. In fact, for 2019, my focus is this chakra. It's glitter and gold. It's empowerment and feeling empowered and confident rather than feeling like I'm burning out. I'm just fizzling out through everything I have to do, which doesn't give me energy, right? It's a tender balance for people, and we can fuel our bodies in healthy ways. And so people that have fueled themselves with too many sugars and carbs, they can tend to get things like metabolic syndrome. And metabolic syndrome is connected to increased belly fat, right? And so kind of like having this dysfunction, which goes further into liver toxicity and so many other things, of course, and cardiovascular parameters. But, you know, I really feel like when people can get anchored into their solar plexus, and they can help to balance this center with food by having sustainable carbohydrates, you know, yellow foods that do help them to burn bright. So things like, you know, bananas under certain circumstances, things like lentils and dal and certain legumes for people who can tolerate them, like garbanzo beans or yellow squash or even lemons, right? A lot of these foods can help to provide us with fiber, soluble and in some cases insoluble fiber, to slow the release of sugar into the blood. So yeah, we want to continue to burn bright and keep things shining and empowered versus burning out.
So with some of the suggestions you just said there, Deanna, with the legumes and the sort of beans, what about the anti-nutrients in them? Is that a concern or not?
Such as which one? Like lectins or?
Yeah, specifically, yeah.
Yeah, they can be for some people. I don't deny that, which is why we really have to get in sync with what works for us and what doesn't. I do think that there's been an overemphasis on, quote unquote, the detrimental effects of lectins as the primary cause or the root for disease, you know, because a lot of the cooking methods would essentially destruct or at least reduce some of those lectins, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that there can be anti-nutrients. But I think that, you know, if we look at what a whole food imparts, it's more than just anti-nutrients. You know, the anti-nutrients are perhaps buffered by the presence of other phytonutrients that are in the food themselves, right? And so we have to look again at the whole food rather than just, you know, I think one of the flaws of nutrition or people that make strong statements in nutrition is that, you know, it's almost like a bullseye. We want to just hang our hat on one thing and say, oh, it's all because of this. It's mm-hmm. It's like if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was first, you know, this is years ago, like 2007, when I was really looking into gluten. And then I started thinking, oh my gosh, gluten is because of I need to go gluten-free because, you know, gluten is the reason for this and that. And, you know, you start to see your world through the lens of gluten. And then all of a sudden you realize, like, you start hearing about other people talking about whether it's FODMAPs or maybe it's not gluten, maybe there are other things. So we just have to protect ourselves from having too narrow a vision within nutrition and not looking at the holism, looking mm-hmm. at the complex array of different things that are actually in food. And I know herbalists do this really well because they oftentimes put together herbs that have complementary activity, and they can acknowledge when things are toxic or when things are beneficial. But I do think we need to apply that same principle to food and not, again, throw everything out just because of, you know, thinking of one anti-nutrient, but then to be thinking about all the pro-nutrients and nutrients that are in that food that could help to balance that.
Yeah, I was just interested to know what your opinion was on it. I love listening to experts in the field and what they have to say, and everyone has their own opinion on it. Yeah, and I was just wondering what your words were on that. So, yeah, moving on. I mean, we are kind of short on time. This thing's gone pretty quick. So, could you give like a little roundup of the, as we like we're going through the heart chakra, throat, eye, crown, could you just kind of like just gloss over them very quickly, just so we've got like a good summary of like the whole system?
You bet. And, again, this is going to be really quick and, really the tip top of the iceberg. If you go to foodandspirit.com, I have a whole chart that everybody can download just for free. The green is called the love. It's about cardiovascular health, and it does focus on plant foods, especially green leafy vegetables that are rich in vitamin K and dietary nitrates and folates. Then there's the truth, which is aquamarine, that's connected to the thyroid gland. And so focusing on the how of eating, so looking at soups and sauces and teas and broths, things that slow us down in the eating experience, as well as looking at sea plants and other sources of food that can provide the minerals that the thyroid needs for better function. And then we have the indigo system, which is the insight. The insight is about the brain. It's about cognition, mood, and memory. So when we look at the foods, we look at blue-purple foods, indigo-colored foods like blueberries. Lots of good science on blue-purple foods. We look at how food can modulate our mood and also help to reduce. I just posted on my Facebook page yesterday. There are many studies on this, but this is just one of the recent review articles that was looking at anti-inflammatory foods and helping with depression. So, you know, the fact that food can really modulate our brain and quell a lot of the inflammation that we might have that is leading to a lot of dysfunction. And then the final one is what I call the spirit. The spirit aligns to what I would call the invisibles. I just posted on my Instagram today about this. I have a chart with all of the invisibles, the fine and the subtle aspects of nutrients, the things that we don't typically think about, like sunlight and oxygen and electromagnetic fields. So our invisible non-physical self, and how does that align to different things in the environment that we take in or need to get rid of that can be adversely affecting our entire being, like our nervous system function or our pineal gland through diurnal rhythm. So here I focus on detox, on fasting, on breath work, on light, and really making sure that we minimize toxins as much as possible. So that would be the seven systems and their colors.
Very well put in a short period of time, for sure, Deanna. That was great. I just want to quickly ask you, what's your, you just briefly said light then. So what's your sort of outlook on phototherapy or chromotherapy for activating the pineal gland? What's your outlook on that?
Yeah, definitely something to it for sure. And people are talking about light therapy more and more. We just put together a blog on eczema talking about phototherapy and some other modalities. So I do think light is the medicine of the 21st century. I think we're going to get more into the finer and subtler aspects of our day-to-day existence. And I think in part, it's connected into getting back into nature. You know, we've created all this artificial lighting, electricity, Wi-Fi. We've created a lot of fields, and we're now realizing how powerful and the damage that we're actually doing to the body in not adhering to our natural rhythms. And so I think that there's awareness about this. And I do think that light is truly, it can be healing, and it can also be damaging depending on how we use it.
For sure. I've got my blue light blocker on the screen now, so to make sure I'm not damaging my draining my mitochondria. So I'm definitely on the same track as you there with that one, Deanna. I think light, electromagnetism, structured water, we're looking into like quantum biology in the effects of the body with electrons, photons. And I feel like that's where, that's, like you said, it's the medicine of the 21st century. And there's going to be a lot of research pumped into it. And there's going to be some big results and breakthroughs as a result. So I'm really looking forward to where the research takes us with that one. And just to sort of finish things off, Deanna, it would have been nice to have you on longer, but I know you got to go. For everyone that's enjoyed what you've been saying today, like, whereabouts can they find more about you? Have you got any upcoming events? If you go for US based and UK based, and just what's your sort of social media handles, your website, and yeah, we'll go from there.
You can find everything on my Deanna Minnick website. So it's DEANNAMINICH.com. And through that website, you can find my social media handles. You can find, I've got some other websites to look at with some downloads. You can sign up for my newsletter, but you just go to DeannaMinnick.com and everything should be there, including my events.
Oh, okay. Sign. That was
that was easy enough. I really wished I had more time with you, Deanna, because I felt like we were only just scratching the surface, and I would have liked to have got your opinion on this whole this new field of quantum biology, because it's almost like you were talking about this way before it started to pick up interest in the past like 2 or so years, and it's a shame we didn't have more time. So definitely would have to get you back sometime where we can really start to look at some more of the esoteric side of this whole reality of health, well-being, and spirituality, because everything is connected at its root, and I feel like we are just beginning to open our minds enough to be able to dig a little bit deeper and start to ask the questions that these ancient civilizations have had the answers for thousands of years. And we're definitely on the verge of some big breakthroughs, and I know that you're going to be at the forefront of that, investigating it and getting it out there to the people as much as I want to be as well. So yeah, definitely love to have you on again, and I just want to say a big thank you for finding some time in your schedule to come on, and hopefully everyone that's been listening has really enjoyed it. Bit of a shorter episode, but we do what we can, and yeah, just big thank you again, Deanna.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Really enjoyed your insights, and yeah, I'm definitely going to look into the nutritional xenohormesis. That's the new one for me, and I'm going to, for everyone that's listening to this episode, if you can tell me how many times I use that word in the few upcoming episodes, then I'll throw you a bag of Vitruvian protein as a treat. So anyway, yeah, thanks for coming on again, Deanna, and let's wrap this one up. So that's episode 19 of the Red Pill Initiation Hour. Let's get it rolling out.